January 25th, 2014 study on individual responsibility. Again, we begin this class, this particular part of it, a couple of weeks ago. This is the third Sunday that we spent on that, and I still in Larry just seem like go back and look at it and keep finding stuff at, for this particular section. But again, we got into the aim of the class was to understand the work of individual Christians in the kingdom and how one functions himself or herself in this kingdom. When we talk about, the universal as a collective. And trying to make the comparison as we get into the characteristics of the universal kingdom and the characteristics of a local assembly, the differences that the Bible there states, and the responsibility that is placed upon each one of these. And so we've made mention that except when the local comes together for specific commands concerning what must be done as a collective, everything else is individual. Okay? And so that's kind of where we're going with this. We begin a little bit last Sunday on looking at the characteristics of the universal church or the kingdom as a whole, that Jesus is the head and how it differs, if you will, some characteristics, how it differs from that of the local, and that each individual member makes up the body. It's not groups. From Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 14, that there's one universal body, Ephesians 4 and verse 4, and there's no universal organization given in the Bible for this universal kingdom or this universal church. Simply that Christ is the head. And by that, when you look at denominations, you have such that have local heads or earthly heads, such as Catholicism and their Pope, but there's no universal or organization, earthly. Christ is simply the head. He rules from heaven. And also that individuals are charged that the church, when the church is not. Do you have something like that? We've seen this as we read the scriptures in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 16. If any believing man or woman, individual, has widows, let them relieve them and do not let the church be charged. So there's certain things that the individual is to be charged with that a local is not. We also looked at individuals has responsibilities separate and apart from a local or from an assembly. And we looked at that from Matthew chapter 18, that when your brother sins, you go to him. It's an individual responsibility, and it's a burden not to be placed upon the church, and it's not to be brought before the church until these other measures are therefore carried out. And in doing so, it creates problems, and it further hinders, I think, the restoring of a person. And we need to keep that in mind. And if God's ways are followed, God gave this way in order that you may be restored to your brother. If that's followed, God's word will work. But when we take that before others and make that known publicly, it hinders that aspect of what God told us to do as individuals. We looked at the individual's money is distinct from the church. And again, this concept, you know, that I give X amount to the assembly, and therefore it's to cover all that I do, is a misconception, and hopefully I can bring that out. That when the idea, the thought that we are to purpose in our heart, it carries more that, or that God has prospered us. But these verses are to be understood in relation to all other responsibilities that I have, okay? I have responsibilities to my family, therefore I need to purpose in my heart what I can give with that in mind. Or all these other things that I must do as an individual, that I must purpose in my heart. I need to prepare a purpose of all these other things that I have as a responsibility. It's simply not as given as to say this, I give $500 and therefore it covers every aspect. I'm to purpose in my heart with all the other responsibilities I have. Is God first? Sure. But again, he expects us to use some common sense, knowing that other things that we have to do, that we take care of those also. And when I give to the church, and with that not mind, then I cannot fulfill those responsibilities as a Christian that I've earned from what my responsibility is, and I've sinned because God has placed that upon me. So the individual's money is distinct from the church. We've seen that in Acts chapter 5 of Ananias and Sapphira. While they had the land, it was theirs when they sold it. And the money stuff was not theirs. And again, we mentioned that as we closed last week, that individuals function in three realms besides being in the local church. And we'll look at that's kind of where we begin this morning, and that is in social or society. We function in society. We function in the home and also in the civil government. And simply, society means that those who form a community, an organized community. Kind of thing, I think the definition, you may have a better one, but if you look at the community here, say Laurel County or London, it's how we function as individuals in this community, this, with laws and stuff, how we function in that. And of course, the greater capacity would be that of the civil government, the universal United States on that. But we understand that. And so when you look at Romans chapter 12, again, these individual responsibility in these three places. Someone read verses, Romans chapter 12, 17 through 21.
Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And if your enemy is hungry, feed him, and if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Okay, so when you look at this, Paul dealing with, what's he saying here? As far as those that I come in contact with, say, in this society or this locality, these individuals here in Laurel County, that what? I'm to repay no one evil for evil. Those that I come in contact here, I'm not to repay them evil for evil. I'm to have regard for good things in the sight of all that I come in contact with here. If it's possible, I'm to do what? Again, this society, if it's possible in this society that I live in, that I am commanded as an individual to live peaceably with all men. I'm not to avenge myself. I'm to turn that over to the organized laws of a society. And God said it will be the ultimate source of this vengeance, of the avenging. But again, the law is established for what purpose? To bring to justice those who do wrong in a society. And so I'm to live within those laws. I'm not to avenge myself, for God said, I will repay. Also, I have the responsibility in this society, in verse 20, to do what?
To see the needs of others.
Okay, and we want to deal a little bit with this so we do not have the misconception of who I am to help as an individual in this society, okay? When you think back, and we'll not get into it really, I've got it on, down in the lesson. When you think back of the Old Testament, who were two aspects that the law was focused upon of who Israel should help?
Widows and orphans.
Widows and orphans. Why?
Because they had their stability, their provider had been lost.
Okay.
They didn't have.
So it falls under those who are in need without what? It's not just because you're too sorry to work. Okay? But it's those who, in aspect, have not the ability to what? Care for themselves. Okay? So that's kind of what you're looking at. James 1, verse 27 brings this out. Again, as we look here, James is simply saying that if you want to be a Christian, here is how a Christian, an individual Christian is defined. When he says pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this, to visit the orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. These individuals who are needful of help, okay? Because the provider, as James mentioned, or provider for himself, is not there. That which was a provider has been taken from him. And so God places great, if you go back and do a study on how many times the orphans and the widows are mentioned in the Old Testament to be taken care of. You can see the emphasis that God puts upon that. He also, in our society, that we are to do that as an individual. Therefore, it takes a certain means that I have. It may take money. It may take time. Whatever. It takes time on my part. So I've got to allow and that purpose in my heart for things, this aspect of it. Because I think when you look at the term that to visit incorporates all aspects of whatever it may be to help them. Not only the visit, the money, the food, whatever it may be, it falls under that term that I'm to do whatever necessary in the care for them. So it's an individual responsibility in society that I have. And you can label it, if you will, to those members, which is true, and guidelines are given for orphans and such. But again, it's an individual responsibility. It's not the church responsibility. Galatians 6 and verse 10. Again, the same thing. Therefore, as we have opportunity, those we come in contact with in this society, in this locality that we have, let us do good. And it says, especially to those household of faith. So I have a responsibility, if you will, not only to this society that I live in, to do good, the opportunity arises, but again, keep in mind what I'm talking about. It calls on the need. There must first be a need. And I'm not dealing with if you create a need that you shouldn't. I'm talking about something that happens beyond your control, such as the famine that was mentioned. Please.
And speaking about the widows and the orphans, that doesn't necessarily mean it has to be a physical need. That can be an emotional need. A lot of times you have widows don't need nothing physically. Because I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
And you just need the emotional support from people.
Yeah.
That's
what I'm saying. It incorporates what all involved in the need. Okay? Not just that's what I give her $50 or whatever. You know, and I've done something here. I took her some. That's not what I'm talking about. That's involved. It's everything, whether it's emotional, spiritual, whatever, in that.
Also have the spiritual need. Because after the loss of a loved one, the grain on the spirit is great. I mean, even Jesus, when he lost Lazarus, said he wept, his spirit groaned. It's the drain spiritually is great. You question, oh, was a good person taken? I have a lot of friends that that's the first thing, you know, that are non-Christians, the first thing that they come up with. Well, why did my dad die then? Why was I an orphan? And that kind of thing, and it's really hard to. You really need strong individuals in the church.
Yeah, and I mentioned it's totally different than if I'm having problems and Marilyn comes to me as an individual. Other than she brings a card from the collective, she came to me, or I go to Larry. It's different when you have that personal contact with individuals. Okay, it makes a difference. A lot of times, people, it just, as you mentioned, for someone to listen. Okay, I've had that. You know, where you there, you listened. They're not looking for a response sometimes. But again, the idea that I have to be involved with that person for that to happen, Lord.
We have a great example in the book of Ruth where we see they left so much in the field for the poor to glean. Then you look at Ruth, she took care of Naomi. Ruth went out and worked and took care of her. And not only provided for her, but it's companionship. She didn't want her to be alone. Even though it was her mother-in-law, it wasn't her mother or her aunt, but she didn't want her to be alone. She said, where you go, I'll go. She stayed with us, and she provided for us.
Again, not... I'll just cover it now. When you go back to 1 Timothy 5, and again, Paul here writing of responsibility, he says in verse 8, someone read that, please.
If anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever.
To deny means what? If you deny... If I say, You remember Peter's statement when Christ said, what? Before the cock crows, you're going to what? You're going to deny me three times. So when those situations arose, what did Peter say? I don't know him. I don't know. That's what deny means. So what happens when you deny the faith?
You don't conform to it.
You don't conform to it. Simple. When he's talking about this in verse, if any does not provide for his own, that you do not conform to what's required to you as an individual, you are denying the faith, okay? But notice the end this. If anyone does not provide for who?
His own household.
His. Okay? The head of that house. His provide that. It says, for he has denied. He has not accepted the responsibility that has been placed upon him. I am to provide for my house, my parents, whoever may be there. Okay? But so often in today's world, the parents are going back and providing for their children because their children's too sorry to work. And so the one that provides becomes the providee. They're the ones receiving. Instead of them doing the opposite. That responsibility has been placed upon me that I am to provide for my family, whoever it may be. But it does not involve sorrowness. Okay? It's if they have a need. So if you put yourself in a situation that you've done because you made bad judgments, does that make you a needy person? Again, the orphans, the widows, the destitute, that's who I'm to focus upon as an individual. And who is those, as we look at in Luke chapter 10 and verse 27, who is my neighbor? So he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself, as Ray has talked about over and over. Who is my neighbor? It's that individual that I have the opportunity to help who is in need in whatever way. And not because they won't work. That's not the destitute person. Because that, at that point, they have denied the faith and not providing what they should. And again, it's from the aspect, it's not only the material thing, it could be from the emotional thing. It could be from the spiritual standpoint. I think the spiritual standpoint is what's emphasized. But again, that's who we are to help as far in society. So that's one of the realms. The other is the home. As we looked at 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, to deny means to have no connection with or to admit the truth or existence of something or someone. You're just simply denying that that don't exist. That I am to help my household. Provide, if you've not looked the definition up, simply means from strong, and this definition is used twice in the New Testament, it means to consider in advance. I am to consider in advance what I'm going to do concerning my responsibility to my household. It's not a spur of the moment thing. It carries with it the same idea as you purpose in your heart. It's in foresight of everything else that I purpose in my heart, what I'm going to give to this local group here in order for those responsibilities that we must carry on as a group. And so I am to consider in advance. That's what it means to provide. Strong says to consider in advance of what I'm going to do and how I'm going to take care of that. And it calls responsibility upon the head of the house. Because that's who God has designated responsibility to. And men, if you give that to your wife or someone else, then you have denied the faith. You simply not recognize God's word as conforming to your life. And so, it's simply to deny the truth. When you look at Genesis chapter 2 and verse 23, backing up just a little bit, Genesis 2, verses 23 and 24. Someone has that ready, please.
Genesis say Genesis 2 and 24?
23 and 24.
Says, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh.
Okay, the idea here in 24 is that which was set apart. Therefore shall man leave father and mother and cleave to his wife. Wife is to leave father and mother. They're set apart from those families they were once in, and they become as one in a new family with responsibilities, okay? And what are some of those responsibilities? Say that Ray and Judy has. Any thoughts? We've looked at them before when you look at Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7. You shall teach them to your children. Teach what?
Teach the commandments. They have a responsibility of teaching their children.
Who does?
Ray and Judy. Well, Ray being the head of the house falls on him.
And Judy also helps out under the guidelines of who? Ray. Ray's the head of the house. Okay? Here's what we're going to do. As this two that is set apart, here's our responsibility as individuals in this home. Teach that. When you go to chapter 11 and verse 19, you shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. That's one responsibility. It's not something that's placed upon the church when we come together. And the classes are good. I'm not saying that. But when that's the only food, spiritual aspect that your child gets, then you have denied the faith. Because that's something you must provide as parents to them. And the emphasis, again, is placed upon the head of the house. Ephesians chapter 5. Again, there are familiar verses that we've looked at, but to bring them to your thoughts, the responsibility of this. Someone read verses 23
through 33. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he may sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but he nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband.
Give me some characteristics in this reading here that is stated concerning what this house or this home is to be like. Oh, you Ray and Judy. In these verses, what should Ray and Judy's house, or mine and Shirley's, Marilyn Dole's, what should it be like?
Should be a place of love, peace.
Okay. What else?
Unity.
Huh?
Unity.
When it's all summed up, he speaks concerning Christ and the church. That's the home. Okay? The husband is the head of the wife. You ever heard those say, well, we know who rules that house? And it usually has reference to the woman. Because men have not got the backbone to step up and fulfill their duty that God has given them. And in so doing, they have denied the faith. And wives will not submit to their husbands. And if such, they do not submit to Christ as a church, as an individual member on that. And so we have that, the home. This is what the home is to be like. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 18, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Husband, love your wives and do not be bitter against them. When that aspect is in place, the home will function as it should. When it does not, the home will never accomplish what God designed the home to do. Again, trouble arises. A lot of times it's brought before the church. And the church gets involved in an aspect that should never come before a local, trying to solve problems that's not their responsibility to solve. It causes dissension. It causes people to be torn apart. Simply because God's way is not followed. Bernice?
I just want to just say, being a woman, if I can't respect my husband and his place that he has in the home as the provider, and let him do his use his authority that God gave him, then when I come to worship service, or I'm not going to respect God's law. Because if I can't do that at home, I will do that in the service.
That's true. Ephesians 6 and verse 4, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Again, responsibility that is placed upon an individual parent, the fathers, not the church, not the assembly. Okay? Colossians 3 and verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things. This is well pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Again, responsibility, individual responsibility. Let not the church be burdened in your responsibility. You're to bring them, you're to train them, you're to bring them up. You're to do this each day, some form of aspect of their spiritual need. But, I know as we get into it, it involves other things. I'm not just saying this is 24-7, okay? But it is incorporated each day. That some aspect, they are to receive spiritual training, much like you would just feed them each day, whatever form that. So you have the realm of social, how I function as an individual, how I function as an individual in the home. Any thoughts on that? The other is the civil government, my responsibility to the civil government. Matthew chapter 22. So I'm going to read verse 21.
They said to him, Caesar. Then he said to them, then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's.
Okay. What's the meaning here? That I'm to render to Caesar in our application today. For Caesar was the one that ruled at that time. He's the head of the government. What's my, from this verse, I'm out of the day.
Also, pay your dues to the nation that you live under.
What if I think those dues are not fair?
God has control of the rules.
Right, Jeff.
I was just going to say, but I mean, we're to pay taxes and obey the law, but I guess the only time where we would not be subject to that is if it was against what God told us to do.
Well, because I might feel the property tax is not right. Does that in a way, if I go against God's will, if they say that I have to pay that? You know, we spend, and I deal with drivers at work of things that they turn in. And their big thing is, how can I keep more than I should be allowed to keep? Maybe by turning in false things that they may not have had. It's a big thing. You know, I'll defraud the government. And again, as Ray mentioned, unless it falls under the category that I am obeying man rather than God, I just need to go ahead and render to Caesar. Whether the mouth's fired off, that's not the question. Okay? Of whether they're exacting 50% of my pay. You reckon how much Caesar exacted from the people?
Well,
Christ give you permission to lie, cheat, or steal from anyone, whether it be the government or anyone else. If you want the government to change, we live in a state into a country that you're supposed to be able to vote and choose and pick leaders. We've chosen people or allowed people to do things that we may or may not agree with. Just look around at who's in office. We have to do what they say or change who's there. And we as a nation have been too lazy to change who's there.
So we're more or less like, I guess a lot of people want to sit back and gripe about what's wrong but not do nothing about it. Okay? But yet God has designed ways that we can do it lawfully to change those things that may be wrong. But again, it takes effort. Do I do that as a citizen of the civil government? What do I do when it comes time that I have an opportunity to change something? I have a responsibility to God to do that. Romans chapter 13. Let every soul be subject to the government authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. And he says, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good. Again, this aspect that I'm to submit myself, I'm to do what is good to the authority that I'm under. They obey all the laws, and they will do no harm to them. And that's God's requirement, if you will, of me. 1 Peter 2 and verse 13. Therefore, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king or, if you will, to supreme. And again, with that, as we close, as you turn to Titus chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, it's not only to this idea of the civil government, the government in Washington, or the government in the state of Kentucky that I'm to render their dues to. In Titus 2 and verse 9, exhort bondservants to be obedient to their masters. Your relationship to those you work for, whether I agree with what they're doing or not, if I have that job, I am to submit myself. And he goes on, as mentioned, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that you may adorn the doctrine of God. I am to render to my masters, those that I work for, their due respect in all things. I'm to be active on the job. I'm not to be wasting my time. I'm not to be stealing from them. I'm to show all things. Because that's pleasing to God. If I do that, then I've denied the faith. As Larry says, you've not put on the doctrine of Christ. Because an individual does not do that. But a lot of time is spent wasteful because maybe the one, your master, was not around. How do you act? That's my individual responsibility. We'll stop there. Any questions? Thank you.